Hey, Heart Refined friends. Okay, so it's been a while since I have recorded a podcast, and I'm super excited to be on here today. Well, I say I'm excited. I actually am not very excited. I'm glad to be on with you, but today has been a hard day. I'm kind of in an emotional roller coaster this season, and there are several reasons for that. Not really worth working through here on the air, but it's where I am right now. It's just sort of how things are working. And I started to think as I needed to record something because I know that I need to get this podcast back in gear, but I also know that I need to speak of what God's doing. But I felt myself saying, wait a second. Wait until you feel better. But isn't that the problem in the Christian life? We're waiting to feel a certain way before we serve God or testify or disciple others. And of course, there's seasons of rest and there's points where you gotta just be quiet and you've got to be still and so on and so forth. Yada, yada, yada. That's of course a thing. But really, I think that we more times than not should speak up. It's like this. I know as a personal trainer, a nutrition specialist, all that kind of stuff. If you are in a season, kind of in a rut, where you're struggling to get back in gear, you've got to just take a step back in the right direction. There's never going to be a point where you're always going to be motivated, or you're just going to feel super excited about exercise, or super excited about having a salad instead of a pizza, or however that goes. Today, I think I'm not super excited about standing up and saying that things are not going to go my way in this season. But I'll tell you what I am is confident in my soul, deep within my bones, of who God is. I've been trying to think of what I would name this podcast, and I was thinking I'd just go ahead and get started, and then I would think of the name. But here in my notes, it makes sense that this is what it'll be named. Seek ye first the sovereign God, even when it's a bad day. Especially when it's a bad day, maybe is the right thing to say. So, like I said, there's several things going on. It's, roller coaster-ish. Nothing traumatic or emergent. Just things. You'll know how that weighs you down. And of course, across the course of today, the Lord has provided for me several things. A sweet song from my daddy that reminded him of my mama. And of course, that made me cry. A sweet note from a friend who was actually remembering my mama and actually talking to me. Today is, oh goodness, what's the day? It's August 31st, which is National Overdose Day. And I didn't even know that that was today. Let me make sure I say it right. Today is National Overdose Awareness Day, and of course I come from overdose. And so she was saying a sweet word about where I've come since my overdose, and a sweet word about my mama who was proud of me. And so that made me cry. And then I had another friend who she's actually my mentor and the editor of Simple Surrender, Diane Warner. And if those of you who know her just are tickled pink when you hear her name, but she's a wonderful woman of God who's very quiet and unassuming, but she is steeped in the Word. And so she sent me a message about Isaiah 45, reminding me of the sovereignty of God right now. And she didn't put any big fluffy words in there about, oh, feel good, feel better. She just stated very clearly who God is and sent me running towards that scripture. So that's, of course, where I'm going to be today. And I do get very excited about talking about this when I learn something new. So Isaiah 45 starts out in the first verse. The Lord says this to Cyrus, his anointed, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him and disarm kings, to open doors before him, and even city gates will not be shut. So, of course, this is God saying that he's chosen Cyrus. Well, what you don't know, if you don't dig a little deeper, is that this particular chapter, or this section, was written by Isaiah 140 years before Cyrus would actually be appointed king. And what if you continue to read and you figure out that God's goal through Cyrus is to release his people? Well, what Diane shared with me is that Josephus, Flavius Josephus, this is a Jewish historian that writes later on, it talks about Cyrus, and Cyrus was the king of Persia, that he was compelled when he read this writing by Isaiah. And it says, Josephus's words are actually the excerpt that I read, and I don't know if these are Josephus's exact words, but it gave Cyrus an earnest desire and ambition, and it came upon him, it seized him to do what God had called him to do. And so you look at this and you think, well, this is a guy who had no clue what he was called to do, but he was in position to do so and compelled by the Lord to do so. But here's what's the interesting thing. Cyrus, it says that he does not know him. In verses 4 and 5, it leads us to believe that Cyrus was not a man of God. He says in verse 4, "I will call you by your name for the sake of my servant Jacob." Again, these are the Israelites. "And Israel, my chosen one." It says, "I give a name to you, though you do not know me." In verse 5, he says, "I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God but me. I will strengthen you, though you do not know me." So he says twice, "though you do not know me." And so even though Cyrus is not a man of God, he is compelled and inspired by the divine nature in these divine writings. And so he goes ahead and he leads the Jewish people back to their country. So I'm thinking as I'm reading this, and this is not about me. This is about an amazing movement of God on behalf of his chosen people. This is showing that he is sovereign over all, and he can use whomever he pleases to do whatever he pleases. But as I sit in my story today and I look at all the things over the past several days that I've been spelling out for God, how he should do a few things, and I've been actually quite self-pitiful because they've not gone the way that I thought they should go, he reminds me that it's not prayer and God is not set out before me so that I can say, hey, join me in my greatest American dream wish list, or spell out things the way I think they should be. No, it's my responsibility to join him in his glory and his mission and what it is and his passion for his chosen people. And remember, this particular passage is written for the Jewish chosen people. But remember also in the New Testament, read Romans, we are grafted into that tree. So we are his people. And so he is doing things on our behalf, using whomever he chooses, some that don't know him and some that do. So what do, those of us who do know him? If we go on to read in verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah 45, so remind you, it says at the end of verse 5, "I will strengthen you, though you do not know me." But verse 6 and 7, "so that all may know, from the rising of the sun to its setting, that there is no one but me. I am the Lord and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make success and create disaster." Another version says create calamity. "I am the Lord who does all these things." My heart is quite stirred because I recognize that everybody he uses, whether they know him or not, he's using it, using the darkness and disaster, the calamity, the light and the success, not so that we can feel good about us. He's using these things so that we might know him to be sovereign over all. You know, those verses led me to think about the scripture in Matthew 7:11 that says, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" You know, there's also in, I don't have this pulled open. I should have had it pulled open. But in what is it? Zephaniah. I should have had to pull it ahead, but it says that he's singing over us. I'm trying to get it open really fast. Well, yes, here it is. Zephaniah 16, 17. The Lord your God is among you, a warrior who saves you. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will be quiet in his love. He will delight in you with singing. Again, this is written for his chosen people, but we can only imagine this is the same way because he sent Jesus for us. As we look at that, we can know that we do not have to be afraid. He says in Isaiah 44, 6 through 8, do not be startled or afraid. Have I not declared it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God but me? There is no other rock. I don't know any. So as I sit here today and I recognize my feelings are not fantastic, I'm not on top of the world, but again, my soul is confident in the rock that is higher than I, in the sovereign God who called me to seek him first. And y'all, I did today. I got up very early and I did. I sought him. And yet my feelings did not necessarily follow. But here's the best thing of all. He was not dethroned. He was not shaken by me who needed to lay my head down, my weary head down. But here's what he did. He kept calling me back through these beautiful little whispers throughout the day, saying, don't be afraid. Don't be startled. I'm with you, and I am still the rock that is higher than you. And I do believe in my soul. So I hope that helps you at all. I hope where you're at right now that you feel a moving in your spirit, even if your body is still weary and your mind is just tired and you're just over it in so many ways. I pray that it's him that brings you to a place that lets you put or helps you put one foot in front of the other and do the next thing. Maybe it is to lay down and rest for a little while. But maybe the call for you today is to put your foot back in that place where you get to move and let it be known so that others, not just you, but so that all may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is no one but him. All right. God bless you, Heartvine people. I'm going to be back on this podcast very soon. We're going to get this thing kicking back up so that many can hear what God is doing at a Heart Refine. God bless. Bye.